that I jumped up here because I wanted to see you guys singing, but I jumped up here way too early, so I just watched you guys sing. Amen, y'all, right? So praise the Lord. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. When we plan out our preaching schedule and we're preaching through books of the Bible, we normally will add in what we call a buffer Sunday. That's a Sunday where if one of the preachers got too long-winded and wasn't able to finish the text, we could pick it up and place it back in there if we needed to, but none of us got too long-winded through 1 John, and so we have a buffer Sunday. So I want to take this Sunday to remind us of some foundational truths of our seeking after Jesus, how we are to seek Jesus. Then next Sunday is our fifth Sunday, and on fifth Sunday here at East, we do Lord's Supper every fifth Sunday. If you're part of our family, you probably know this already. If you're a guest or just started attending with us, fifth Sundays we worship together in the partaking of the Lord's Supper. And then the first Sunday in August, we'll pick back up with 2 John. And then I think there's two Sundays in August where we'll do 3 John. They're very short books. And then we've got a buffer Sunday in between there. And then we're going back to Genesis, just kind of where you know we're going. The rest of Genesis will be the life and story of Joseph. And so if you want to read ahead there, I would encourage you to do so. I'm picking off a big chunk of scripture. So I got to roll. I need you to roll with me if we're going to get out by 10:30. Amen? All right? And so I see here, it's a seven-point sermon. Y'all scared to death, aren't you? Y'all scared to death. In the first few verses, there's three choices that we have to determine that help us seek the Lord. And then there's four reasons that Jesus gives us that as we have made those choices, we have no need to be caught up in the dilemma and the trials and the distractions of this world, the worry and the anxiety of this world, but we need to continue seeking Him. And so I want you to see the three choices and then the four reasons that we need not to be anxious, we need not to get distracted, but we need to seek Jesus with all that we are. Look at the text with me, beginning in verse 19. Chapter 6, beginning in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do not lay up. We need to choose our treasure. Where is your treasure? Who is your treasure? Jesus says, this is in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus speaking to the crowd, and I believe still speaking to us. Where's your treasure? Choose your treasure. He says, do not, the imperative is, do not lay up for yourself. The word there, lay, is the verb form of the same word, treasure. And so it said, do not treasure the treasures of this earth. What drives you? What motivates you? What draws your attention? What draws your resources? What draws your labor, your efforts? Where is your treasure? Choose your treasure. It ought to be Jesus. It ought to be the things of heaven and not the things of the earth. Choose your treasure. Where are you going to store up your riches? There's many things that could draw for our attentions. But oh, our heart, our treasure ought to be on the things of Christ and the things of heaven. Colossians 3:2 says this, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. And here's what Paul is saying. I believe this is what Jesus is saying. Put your mind on Christ. Put your heart on Christ and the things of God. Let the things of heaven, the things of eternity, be what drive you, not the things of this world. Choose your treasure. But not only put our heart, our treasure on Jesus, but put our eyes, our focus on Jesus. Choose your vision. Look at verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Choose your focus. Choose your vision. What are you going to set your eyes upon? What are you going to allow your eyes to see? What are you going to allow to be the primary focus of your life? Because that is your God. It is. If you're primarily driven by your bank account, that's your God. If you're primarily driven by your career, that's your God. But if you're primarily driven by the glory of Christ, that's where our eye, that's where our vision, that's where our focus should be. Choose your treasure. Where's your heart? Choose your vision, your eye. Where's your focus? And then, I don't know that we like this one. I don't know that it sits well with us, but we need to choose our master. We need to choose our Lord. Listen to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Put our eyes on Jesus. Proverbs 4, 25 through 27. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Choose our treasure. Choose our focus. Choose our master. Look at verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or God and money. You can't have two masters. Jesus is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. Choose your treasure. Where's your heart? What drives you? What inspires you? What do you chase after? Choose your vision, your focus. What are you focused on? What are your eyes set upon? Let them be set on Christ Jesus. Choose your Lord. Is Jesus Lord? This is how we seek him. In these choices, we seek the Lord and are able to walk in the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And we should continue as we make these choices. Some are choices we make once and for all, but in some way they're choices we make every day. To seek him. And then Jesus transitions in verse 25, therefore, because you've made these choices, because I am your treasure, because I am your focus, because I am your Lord, is what Jesus is saying. Therefore, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are of much more value. Are you of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear, or what shall we put on social media? I think you could throw all those things in there. For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Here we're going to see four reasons. As we make these choices that Jesus is our treasure, that Jesus is our eye, he's our focus, that Jesus is our Lord, we need not be wrapped up in the normal, worldly understanding that everything ought to cause you deep and terrible anxiety every single day of your life. That is not where God would have us to live. That's going to be the reality. Some moments, some days, some seasons, but we are not to live there. And Jesus gives us reasons. Here's the first reason that we should not walk in that anxiousness is God commands us not to be anxious. Look what he says there in verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. There in verse 31, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Verse 34, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's define anxious. The word there gives the idea of being pulled in many different directions. I know none of you ever feel that way because your life is never busy, never anything going on. That's our problem. Part of it is we're too busy. I think that's where God's been yelling at me. It's not been like a mean yelling. It's just been you're going to hear me before this is over. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, make your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Stretched in all different directions. And I feel like I'm that, what was that Stretch Armstrong doll? This is old school toy back here. Most of y'all know what I'm talking about, though. That thing could stretch every different direction. And man, and every 8-year-old boy that had one cut it open to see what was on the inside. Amen. Just like every Barbie doll had its head took off at some point. Every Stretch Armstrong. Some movie or something, right? But anyway, praise the Lord. But you ever feel that way? Every day. Jesus said, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. Here's the first reason we shouldn't be anxious. It's parenting 101. Because I said so, is what Jesus said. We ought to obey him. We ought to obey him. Listen what the word says, that we, if we love God, we'll obey him. And he didn't say it one time. He didn't say it two times. He said it three times in the text. And the first time is what we see is in the present imperative. That's saying to quit worrying. And then the last two times are in the aorist subjunctive, is in a way of saying, don't start back. Quit worrying and don't start back. Stop worrying, don't start. Stop, don't start. Stop. Jesus is saying, quit. Don't worry. 1 John 2:5 says this, but whoever keeps his word, truly in him the love of God is made complete. This is how we know we're in him. Listen, we can seek the Lord by being obedient to his word when he tells us not to be anxious. But I know, just as your children, and just as my children, and just as us as children, when we asked our parents why not, and they said, because I said so, it didn't really satisfy us. Now, I don't know about your house, but I kind of said, yes, sir, and just kind of went on. Because I knew what came later if I didn't say yes, sir, amen. Can I get a witness? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, me, oh, my. I don't know why my hands went right to my backside, but praise the Lord. Did y'all see that? That wasn't on purpose. That was just kind of like instinct, like Pavlov's dog or something. I was just like scared or something, you know. My mom said, sometimes you preach like we beat you every day. I said, you didn't? That's what I'm, but anyway, praise the Lord. I hope mama's not watching. Amen. Praise the Lord. He gives us three more reasons. And look, there in verse 27, look at verse 27. Worry, he tells us not to be anxious because it does not do any good. Look at verse 27. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Or that could be translated, can add a single cubit to his stature. Like, can you make your life longer, or can you make yourself taller? That'd be nice. Make yourself taller by being anxious, or by worry. And he says, don't worry, because it doesn't do any good. Dr. Charles Mayo says this: worry affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, and the whole nervous system. He says, I have never met a man or know a man to die of overwork, but I have known a lot who died of worry. It doesn't do any good. When we're anxious about something, have you ever thought, man, I've got this problem, and if I'll just worry about it, it'll get better. It doesn't. Now, I understand. Listen, I'm not being trite. I'm not trying to dismiss. There are things that are heavy in this life. There are things that anybody without Jesus ought to worry the whole day long because they are of that stature. But we have Jesus. Y'all have heard the saying, right? God won't put more on you than you can handle. That's not in the Bible. It's not there. There is more on you right now than you'll ever be able to handle. That's your reality. That's my reality. But there will never be more than he can handle. You think, well, man, I've got this problem. I'll just sit here and worry about it. It doesn't get better. It gets what does it normally do? It normally not only does it not make it better, it makes it worse. You ever left the house and here's a better one. I remember something similar to this. What was it? Did you lock, Caroline, did you lock the front door? I said, yeah, I locked the front door. Are you sure? I'm pretty sure. You locked the front door? Yeah, I locked the front door. And have you ever been there, like, 5 minutes later? You're still talking about whether or not the door. Get up and go lock the door. I mean, just go lock the door. Here's the deal. I can lock my front door. If somebody wants to get in, they can still get in. I'm just saying. I'm just telling you. I could kick that door open myself, and I'm a 50-year-old, out-of-shape man. Don't come by my house trying to kick it in. Now, there's stuff in there to stop them once they get in. Amen? You all right? But just some things we should just go take care of. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. I don't know how we're going to eat. But here's the deal. A great place to go when you're broke, I found it out, is to work. Amen? You all right? But if you need a sandwich, come by the church. We'll get you a sandwich. I ain't going to let you go hungry. You ain't going to eat filet, but you can get some bolognese. Amen? Praise the Lord. But worrying about it's not going to do any good. Jesus says, don't be anxious because I said so. Don't be anxious because it doesn't do any good. But here's even a better reason. Don't be anxious because our God is able to meet our needs. He is able. He is able. He is able. We can trust him. Verse 26, he says, look at the birds of the air. They're just doing everything by instinct, but he takes care of them. He says, are you of not more worth than they? I love to watch the birds. Texas had some ugly birds. All of them were just ugly. They're just no color, no originality, just like crows all the time. They're just ugly birds. Amen. They had ugly bushes too. Amen. And they don't have trees where I live. I was in Texas. Can you? They have bad traffic, but we ain't gonna talk about that. I think the handle on our, anyway, praise the Lord. He can take care of us. Look at the lilies of the field. And even Solomon in all his splendor are not arrayed like those. And we are of much more value. They are today alive and then in the summer of Louisiana, they're scorched the next day. Amen. Our God is able. We can seek God by surrendering our circumstances to him. We can seek God when we begin to feel anxious by stopping and praying him and reminding ourselves and declaring to him in our worship, God, we trust you, and then do what he's told us to do. He says, don't worry, because I said so. He says, don't worry, don't be anxious, because it's not going to do any good. But oh, the comfort that he says, don't be anxious, because I've got you. I've got you. He's got the whole world in his hands. And you and I can trust him with our circumstances. We can trust him with our babies. We can trust him with our present. We can trust him with our future. Oh, and we can trust him to cover our past and take the price for our sins. Oh, we ought not to walk in anxiousness or worry because we serve a great God. May you and may I be reminded of what Paul says, 1 Timothy 1:12, which is why I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Oh, that came out King James. That's just because that's how I memorized it. Amen. All right. But it's still the message. We can trust him. But here's the final reason Jesus gives us in verse 33. Look what he says. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, the final reason we shouldn't walk in anxiousness, that we shouldn't worry, is worrying is not seeking. You can no more worry about things and seek God at the same time, then you can head up 171 North and 171 South at the same time, unless something really bad has happened. You can't go in both directions. One is toward God, and one is away from God. One is trusting God, and one is trusting your circumstances. One is seeking God, and one is turning away from God. And so we should not be anxious, because we are passionately seeking God. You see, the cause of worry is seeking after the things of this world or worrying about the circumstances of this world. Contentment comes when we seek after things of God's kingdom, not ours, and God's righteousness, not our righteousness. Oh, it's an exercise. It's a daily routine, because there'll be something to worry about today. There'll be something to worry about tomorrow. There'll be something that any sane person would say, yep, that's something to be anxious about. But God says, don't worry. God says, it's not going to do any good. God says, I've got you. God says, seek me. How should we seek him? Jeremiah 29:13 says this, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Matthew 7:7, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. Here's the reality. Jesus is not playing hide and seek with us. He's not trying to be distant from us. He's waiting for us to seek him. I believe the Lord gave me an illustration on what the urgency should look like. Now, every illustration breaks down at some point. And this story has been developing over the last week, but many of you have heard by now the story of Carly Russell and maybe an abduction, maybe something else in Hoover, Alabama. I don't know if you've heard it or not. You can Google that if you want to. But the story goes that she was driving on 459 South outside of Hoover, Alabama, on the way home from getting some food, and she called 911 and said she saw a toddler, a three-year-old, in a diaper, barefoot, walking on the side of the road. And if that's so, then she did what anybody, I think, would do. She went over to check on the baby, called 911, and then the story says that she was on the phone with a relative's girlfriend, and they heard screaming, and then when the police got there, she was gone. Now, if you follow this story, there's all kinds of questions and things going on. The good news is she was safe with her family by Saturday night. Whatever happened that night, she is safe and sound. But on that Thursday evening, something terrible happened to this lady. Well, we were staying in Pell City, Alabama, and that's only about 20 miles north of Hoover, Alabama. And we got up early last Friday morning, and we're ready to drive home. We've got, I don't know, that's about 6 hours, 7 hours from here. I think it's eight, but I drive differently. And we get to Hoover. We've been through this route dozens of times. And Hoover is a place that has an interesting history with us. We saw a really bad wreck close to there one time. And there's a Bucky's pretty close there too, amen. And so we're just paying attention. And we go by and it's just strange. There's four or five vehicles on the side of the road. And probably about a dozen people just walking out on the side of the road. And I thought, what in the world? And it looked like they were fine. It wasn't a wreck, or, you know, there was no need to stop and check on them, it didn't seem. But then just a very short later, less than a quarter mile or so, there's 10 or 12 police vehicles. And all of the law enforcement are stretched from the road all the way to the woods. And I said, Carol Ann, Google missing person in Hoover, Alabama, because they're getting ready to walk a stretch and see what's happening. And they were looking for this young lady. They had just started the search that morning as we were driving by. How urgently should we seek Jesus? As I was driving, and she found it came up on, a lot of times you'll see a wreck or traffic's bad, you're trying to figure out what's happening, right? And Google tells you stuff from 3 years ago, but I mean, it came up immediately. This story was popping. And we began to pray, and I'll tell you, I felt an urgency. I felt an urge to turn around and go help. I didn't, but I remember feeling that. And I remember praying. I mean, we followed that story. If you followed it, there's been some interesting twists and turns. But you know, thanks be to God, this young lady came home, right? But I felt an urgency to go and help. I almost turned around, but I didn't. That's not how we should seek Jesus. Because I know right now, you're in a church building. Most of you right here, you feel some need. You feel like it's important to be about these things of God. And you might even pray about it, but you don't really, it's not really got you to action yet. But here's what I thought about. If that had been one of your youngins, I'd have been in the woods. I'm just telling you. If it had been one of your youngins, somebody that I knew and that I cared about, I would have been in the woods. It'd have been a different level, right? I'd have been doing a little bit more seeking, a little bit more searching. It's a whole other level of interest. Why? Because I care about you. I love you. I would feel that urgency with you. I wouldn't feel it the same way, but I would feel that urgency with you. That's better. But then I thought, if it had been my young, I think that's how we ought to seek Jesus. Every day. With that level of urgency. You don't sleep till you find him. You don't give up till you hear from him. You don't stop till you know that you're walking with him. That's different, right? It's a different situation. I don't think God desires for us to live in that type of... mindset. But I do think he's worthy to be sought that way. Choose your treasure. He ought to be our treasure. He ought to be our heart. Choose your focus. He ought to be our everything. Our eyes ought to be set upon him. Choose your Lord. We will not seek him the way we ought to seek him, and we will not walk with him the way we ought to walk with him until Jesus is Lord. How is it with you? How is it in your daily journey to walk with Jesus? It should be an urgent matter that instills a great deal of your resources and your energy. It's certainly worthy that there's no place for the foolishness of sin. There's no place for it. There is no place, and we ought to put it away. But it's certainly urgent enough that we ought to be still and spend time with him on a daily basis, however that looks for you. Some folks say you're not really spiritual if you don't do it first thing in the morning. I think that's the best time to do it. I really do. Because I don't think any soldier should go out to battle until they put on their armor. Amen? But if your time is at night, I'm pretty sure Jesus is happy to meet you then. Amen? If your time's at lunch, then praise the Lord. If your time's at breakfast, your time's at supper, your time's in the afternoon. But here's the deal. When's your time? Well, I might get to it. I might not. It's worth more than that. It's got to be more than that. The reality is you ought to spend time with him in the morning, but then you ought to walk with him all day. So it's not necessarily even a time. But listen, we've got to be intentional in this, because there's always, always, always going to be something that takes our energy and our focus if we let it. So what would Jesus have your urgency be? He's worthy. I don't want you to walk in this in guilt. It's not a guilt thing. Lord, help us, let it not be a guilt thing. It's a love thing. It's a gratitude thing. And here's the deal. And you don't want to be driven by selfishness, but I promise you, to seek after him is the best thing for you and your family. It's the best path. It's the best blessing. I'm not talking some prosperity mess. I'm just talking about walk with God, and then whatever you go through, you're walking with God. You're probably going to go through some of these things anyway. You need to walk with God. We need to walk with God. Choose your treasure. Choose your focus. Choose your Lord. If you've not yet surrendered to Christ, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. If you're playing around with sin, put it away. It has no value. If you're neglecting your relationship and fellowship with the living Son of God, Christ Jesus, make it a priority. If you need help, walk in it with us together in the journey. Your preacher has not arrived, but man, I want to keep growing myself spiritually, not physically. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's walk in this journey seeking after Him, and then there's no telling what God might show us. But some of you need to take a step in that direction right now. Our musicians are coming. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you need to be saved, I want you to come and take me or Pastor K-Mac by the hand and say, hey, I need to give my life to Jesus. Handle that business. We can tell you what the scripture says. God's already done through Christ Jesus that every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room can be saved. I promise you. He paid the price sufficient to cover your sin, no matter what it is. His grace is sufficient. And for the rest of us, we can keep playing games if we want to. That wasn't me, amen. We keep playing games if we want to. Or we can start walking in some urgency after Jesus and just see what God does. Father, in the name of Jesus, whatever needs to happen in this place, in my life, in these lives, in every life in this room, may you have your way. May we be obedient. May some be saved. May others be challenged to put away sin. And may many of us, most of us, Lord, even let it be all of us, be encouraged to walk after you with more of our heart, soul, and mind. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.